I mean, I'd watch the Saskatoon Frostbites versus whomever.
Why wouldn't you?
If Doc was calling it.
Yeah, but especially because they're the Frostbites.
Right, right. So what award has he won now?
Again, I mean, they ought to just name this after him. Doc Emrick won the Emmy Award for Outstanding Sports Personality Play-by-Play last night at the annual Sports Emmys.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I texted Doc, said you're going to need a new house. One house to live in, one house for the awards. But nobody more deserving.
Right.
And no better guy in sports. You know? And that even includes you, and you're a good guy.
No, I would not include myself in that group.
Doc, when he accepted this award, did something very generous and very unique amongst all of us who aren't nearly as busy as we think we are. We'll tell you about that in just a second. But first, we welcome the great Doc Emrick to the program. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
I was sort of sympathizing with Dave about a half hour ago because I thought if he's got to discuss the neti pot, he's probably thinking 3 months from now, I finally get to do cats football.
Right, right. He'll get a break from this.
Yeah.
He'll be able to
get me out of here.
Oh, God. Hey, let me ask you a hockey question before we talk about you, because I know you hate talking about you. We like it, actually. But the Blues and the Bruins, this could be a classic?
It should be, yeah. It'll be a lot of fun because one team has come from virtually nowhere. Back in January, they were dead last, and they had had a coaching change and a goaltender that caught fire. And now, in a springtime when everything is a pick because there are no favorites, here they are. And that goaltender, oddly enough, played for the Bruins farm team because the Blues had nowhere else for him to play 2 seasons ago. So he was in Providence, Rhode Island as a Providence Bruin because the Blues had to place him somewhere and they had no place of their own.
How about that?
So here are all these fun stories that we've got to deal with in the Stanley Cup final. So it should be a lot of fun.
Now, having said that, I don't like either team.
Well, that's understandable because of where you're placed.
Right, exactly. But the Blues, the city of St. Louis deserves a cup. They've never had one. Boston deserves to go home because they have too many championships. So I'm going with the Blues in 7.
Well, 49 years ago, they were in the Final Four, and you weren't alive. And 49 years ago, when they last were in the Stanley Cup Final, and they've never won a Final Series game. So maybe this is their year.
I'm trying to think of, what was the name of that old building, Dave, that they played in? Was it the Ord?
Down in St. Louis?
Yeah. Yeah, it was
well,
their version of the old
Dome at one time.
Yeah, there was their version of the old United Center
or the stadium. Dave.
No, you might know, Doc. I don't remember offhand.
I'll do research. Say hi to Doc.
I got to work in it. It was the St. Louis Arena. It was called originally, and it was owned by the Wirtz family.
Oh, really?
And when St. Louis came into the league, it was going to be Baltimore. But the Wirtz family, with great persuasion, persuaded the Board of Governors to award a franchise to St. Louis instead of Baltimore. And then, conveniently, they owned the arena, and the Solomon family that got the franchise acquired the arena from the Wirtz family. And that was where they operated the Blues franchise for quite a while.
And it's going to impress both of you. You know what the Baltimore hockey franchise is, the top flight franchise in Baltimore is named? You know their nickname? That's right, the Skipjacks.
I did know it.
I had to throw it out there.
Did you work Baltimore?
I did. Just one of the many cities I was thrown out of. And I did a couple of Skipjacks games. I was the fill-in color guy.
How about that?
Yeah.
And you saw a lot of fights.
Well, that was really the main point of hockey at that level.
So, I was talking about in the booth.
Yeah, there was that, too. It's my turn to talk.
You look at the way the season ended, and you, over the course of the playoffs, you've watched these teams all fall by the wayside. The top teams in the league, with the exception of Boston, the number 3 overall, but St. Louis had the 12th best record in the National Hockey League, and here they are in the final. And it seems, Doc, that we talk about this every year at this time. You just want to get in. You just got to be in this tournament. And everybody who gets in, all 16 teams, seem to have a shot because you just don't know what's going to happen.
No, that's the beauty of it. And, you know, we've just seen Golden State get into the NBA final for the fifth consecutive year. And then you have some of the Pittsburgh Penguins and some of the Tampa Bay Lightning that have been out of commission here for a month saying, all we had to do to get to the Stanley Cup final was to beat Carolina. And we couldn't get far enough to do it. And that's what Boston was able to do, but Carolina swept and then got swept. I mean, it's been a wacky spring, but that's our norm. All you have to do is be one of the 16 like the Kings were, and they crawled in at the very end, and then they went out and won the whole thing. It's an open tournament, and that's the fun part of it. All you have to do is make the cut.
That's the thing, man. Have we been talking about that? It's like if the Blackhawks had gotten in, because they weren't as hot as the Blues, but they were hot at the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that was a glorious time in 2015. And, you know, we were just thinking last night about San Jose and the injuries that they had, and two of their best players couldn't even make the trip to St. Louis. But you remember the night of the tornadoes and the torrential rains, and the Cup was just arriving at United Center while the Blackhawks were on the ice celebrating. But Tyler Johnson of Tampa Bay was playing with a broken wrist, and Ben Bishop, their goaltender, was playing with a torn groin. And that's just what happens when you're trying to win a championship. You're out there despite a lot of the elements, but that was a glorious celebration that night despite all the threatening weather. I think a lot of us remember what was going on that night in Chicago.
Yeah, we've done the show live there that night.
There were tornado watches last night during the game, and people in St. Louis were mad because the TV was being taken over by a tornado.
How dare they?
Yeah. Hey, Doc, we have a listener. Her name is Katie Ward, and she wanted to congratulate you. And she has an 11-year-old grandson, Jack, who's an aspiring broadcaster that wants to be just like you. Yes, he's very interested.
Please put her in touch with me. When it's middle school or high school, I always work through the parents because we don't want them to neglect their studies.
Right.
One of the things that happened with my parents, who were both teachers, is that I was such a fanatic about this that occasionally my grades slipped to B's and C's, and when your dad's the high school principal, that's unacceptable. But I'll be more than happy to hook up with them because I was 14 when I made this decision to be a hockey announcer, and I was lucky I got to do what I wanted to do.
Pretty
but,
great.
Please hook them up, hook her up with me, and I'll be more than happy to be an email mentor through her to the aspiring broadcaster.
And that's what he did the other night. Doc said, for anybody who's coming up in this business, need somebody to talk to, here's my email. That was unbelievable. And I know you don't need a pat on the back, and I know you get tired of me telling you how great you are, but that was such a sweet thing to do.
Well, thank you. But other people did it for me when I was young, too. I still have somewhere a postcard that was sent to me. It was just a standard postcard from Jack Quinlan and Lou Boudreau, because I was writing to everybody, and that was snail mail days, and they were the WGN voices of the Cubs at the time.
How about that?
I didn't get anything personal back from them except that card. But that was kind of something I held on to, because at least someone acknowledged that I was out there. And Judd Surratt sent me Jack Quinlan's call of a no-hitter by the Cubs against St. Louis, and I marveled at what a great announcer he was. But I like doing that, and it's amazing how good some of the kids are, high school kids and young college kids, when I get these. Some are by email, some are CDs and DVDs, and I get them in the summertime. And I spend time during August listening to them and then sending suggestions and comments back to them. And one of the guys that sent this to me 20 years ago, Alaska Aces, ECHL, he is now the announcer for the Edmonton Oilers. And another that sent me Hershey Bears on a CD is now the announcer for the Washington Capitals. So that makes me feel good, too.
Dave, last word to you.
I wonder, Doc, as you look at this series between the Blues and the Bruins, should be a great series. Bruins have home ice starting out, but that hasn't really seemed to bother the Blues all that much in the postseason.
Yeah, nothing matters. And, you know, it becomes dueling stats at this point. The Bruins are the second-best road team, and the Blues are the very best. Bruins Penguins have a great power play. It's the very best in the league. But all of these stats, as you will say, when the Wildcats play their first game, all stats go out the window.
Yes.
Nothing is prophetic about statistics at this time because they haven't played one another, these two teams, in a long time, and they're so much different now. And there's so much different about them because of what they've suffered through to go through three rounds just to get this far. All of that pales to what we're going to see on Memorial Day evening at 8 o'clock Eastern. It'll be just loads of fun to anticipate what's going to happen. And the best part is too that the Blues will have 5 days and the Bruins will have had 10 or 11 to get over the many sufferings and aches and pains that they'll have endured through three rounds. So they'll be as healthy as they possibly can be to go into a final.
Well, you know my slogan. Doc Emrick makes hockey better. So I will be watching.
And Edzo. And Edzo, too.
That's okay.
So. He's fantastic, guy. He's just fantastic, and he's as good a friend as you could have as a broadcast partner, for sure. Now, my question to you is, where is the next cookie outing going to be, and what will the flavor be with AG?
Yeah, it's a good question. Our place that we went on our grandfather, Pops, me, granddaughter, a date ice cream or cookie place, it closed down. How dare they?
Oh, it did?
How
now,
dare they?
Did you say something? Is that what happened?
I think they knew it was me, and they said, Abigail's welcome here now. By the way, Doc, I am so inspired by what you did. I'd like to now give out Dave Ennett's cell phone number. So if anyone wants to call Dave.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, that's very good. Mary Sandberg, it's always great to talk to you. And I only hope that my next car has a GPS that has Mary Vandeveld's voice on it because I trust her. I do not trust the voice I have on my GPS.
How about that? Well said by you. Yeah. Doc, have a great call. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks,
Doc.
There he is, the award winner.